Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Orri Vifosson. I'm the chairman of the North Atlantic Salmon Fund, which is based in Iceland, but we do operate in 14 countries bordering the Atlantic, on both sides of the Atlantic, and the NESF, we call it in short. In short, it's a salmon conservation organization, a private sector coalition of international volunteers determined to rebuild salmon stocks to historic levels. After 20 years here, I'm afraid we have not been able to have much success in this part of the world. But as you know, salmon is an international resource. It goes from many different stakeholders to another set, and they go from one country to the next country jurisdiction, so it is a pretty difficult resource to manage. I come from Iceland, which is a fishy nation, and when I wake up in the morning, I turn on the we look at the fish. Fish is the backbone of our economy, so we know that it needs to be taken great care of if it is to survive. The general rule we have in Iceland in fisheries management in the sea is that we must never take more out than 20% of the fishable biomass. If we take out 21%, stocks go down. This is the general rule. The same with the salmon. If we have take too much, it will not rebuild to the historic levels we are looking for. Everybody will tell you, all the stakeholders, all the countries will say, yes, but we only take a little bit. The problem is, if the upper river owners, the lower river owners, the estuarian right holders, the high seas right holders, if everybody only takes a little bit, it's not enough. So we all have to show a great restraint. And when I established the North Atlantic Salmon Fund 24 years ago, that was our mission number one, is to stop the killing of the fish. That the killing too many fish is the problem of fisheries everywhere. But nobody wants to admit it, so governments spend billions and billions of dollars trying to find out if there is something else. There is nothing else. This is the prime reason for the destruction, dwindling fish stocks everywhere. We are killing too many. Coming back to NESF in action, we have our goal, our strategy, and execution. And I would like to go through this with you. Our goal is very simple: the abundance of salmon. Our strategy is also very simple: the rational allocation of resources. So what we have done is we have analyzed these different elements and tried to put them together and talk to all the stakeholders and try to find solutions. Our execution is not so simple. The implementing the right priorities, negotiating with competing stakeholders. So we started on the high seas in Greenland and the Faroe Islands, in Iceland in fact, and started to try to find solutions among the stakeholders. Governments couldn't do it. They've been trying to do it for many, many years. So I said to my friends, we have to do it, the private sector, and when it's finished, when we have made deals, we take it to the governments and ask them to sign a letter. Can I have some water, please? Thank you. I'm sorry. Before I go into the different areas of agreement we have made, I also want to tell you that in addition to ending the killing of the fish, We have great concern for the salmon farms at sea. Salmon farms are important, but they must be nowhere near the sea. They have to get out of the sea, because in the sea you can control nothing. On land you can control more or less everything. We also work on the removal of the dams and hydros, and my colleague Mark Adrian will probably talk about that later on. We try to improve the habitat everywhere, and when there is not enough fish, like in this part of the world, when the levels of the fish in the rivers are far below safe biological limits, there is nothing else but stocking. Stocking is all we always try to improve the natural stocks of the river, but when the diversity and the stocks are so low, there is nothing else to do. I would like to show you this map of the salmon world as we see it. Our principal goals have been to reach agreement on the high seas. So we started in Greenland and the Faroe Islands. I want to come to Greenland in a minute, because they have started issuing commercial quotas again. We have made agreements around Iceland and all the 200-mile fishing jurisdiction there. No salmon ever will be caught and killed again. We have made a complete a moratorium for the salmon, and we have wiped out the fishing rights from the official registry of so salmon from any nation can come and migrate, eat our food around the country, and it will never be caught. The Atlantic is more or less now clean, except for the Greenland, which I want to talk to you about in a minute. We have agreement. We have promoted commercial conservation agreements. We do not believe in wishful thinking resolution by governments. We have an international treaty, the NASCO Treaty, which has never met its conservation goals, and as you could see, we will see in a minute, that this year completely failed to do in Greenland, and I will tell you more about that in a minute. We sponsored and brokered the agreement in the North Sea for the Northeast Drift Nets. We have done the same in various other parts. The Greenland, the Canadian government did their own agreement in Canada, compensating netsmen, and the Irish government did the same. We broke the deal together with the authorities in Northern Ireland, and we have after 24 years, 85% of the so-called mixed stock fishery in the ocean is now covered by commercial agreements. Very often the private sector has started this, raised the money, and this is the reality of it. 5,200 netmen and longliners have now signed up, 85% of the total catches involved. You tell me any industry in the world where you have 85% of the people who have signed up, or and more importantly, they are now all happy. I don't think I have found any dissenting voice in the recent years that they are unhappy with the agreement, because we make agreements whereby the netmen and the longliners, whoever has the right to fish, are now better off than they used to be. Very, very, very important. The 15% that is left in the ocean is mostly in Finnmark, Norway. Sadly, the Norwegian government still promotes and operates a mixed stock fishery in that particular area. And in the spring, in the month of June, 60% of the nets, of the take of the nets in Finnmark, are salmon belonging to Russia, to the Kola rivers. In July, it is down to 50%. On average, it's between 40 and 50%. And we have tried to encourage the Russian government to take Norway to court for violation of the United Nations International Law of the Sea Treaty of the Sea. Article 66 of that treaty provides if one nation is taking someone from another nation, the nation of origin can demand a stop, and the host nation, in this case Norway, must comply. Norway has yet, yes, we know we are guilty, but we have poor people on the coast there. We need to give them some work and to earn some money. I say no. They can delay it for a few years. We started this campaign in Norway in 1994 in Oslo, and after 18 or 19 years, they still haven't stopped. And so there are two types of netting stages in Norway. It's called bent net and back net, or krogan and kilenot. Krogan is the very destructive one that damages a lot of fish, but even though they are not caught, they are then die later because of damage. Krogan is banned everywhere in Norway except in Finnmark. And I say it's mostly because they are taking Russian fish. The Faroe Islands, they have not done any fishing since April 1991 when we signed the agreement. It's an open-ended agreement whereby probably both nations, both we and them, can give notice. But it's been working well for 22 years, and we hope that it'll continue. But of course, the Faroese say, why the hell should we protect all the salmon and then see them killed by the nets of Norway, Scotland and Ireland? There's still some nets left in Ireland and even Canada. So at the NASCO meeting this year, at the NASCO meetings in the recent years, Greenland and the Faroe Islands have been saying, you must also stop netting. But NASCO is a very faulty treaty because it discriminates between nations. It says we must have a quota limit in Faroe Islands and Greenland, but no limit in Norway, Scotland, Ireland, and Canada. Such a treaty is not an international treaty. Could you imagine a treaty in this part of the world where you allow Holland to take as much fish as they like, but not France or Germany? It's not going to work. Moreover, the international scientific community and advises NASCO has one set of rules, one set of science for Greenland and the Faroe Islands, but a totally different set of science for Scotland and for Ireland and Norway. Mm. Believe me, it's not going to work. So the message this year, Greenland decided to issue again, after many years, a commercial quota of 35 metric tons, and saying to Scotland and Ireland and Norway, now you get your act into order. And Faroe say, for every 1,000 fish we save for Scotland, 980 is killed by the Scottish nets on the coastal range of Scotland. It's not going to work. I want to talk about this map. We have started making agreements with the Canadians have started making agreements with the Indians, First Nation right people in Canada, and I have hope that will continue. And we need to do the same with the Sami people up in the Finnmark area of Norway and Finland. Of course, there are also Samis in Russia on the Kola Peninsula. So that is where we are at today. As I said, the salmon is an international resource, and you have to manage this resource from the international perspective, covering the whole life cycle of the salmon. Otherwise, it's not going to work in the future. And because I am in France, and speaking to people from Germany and Switzerland, Germany and France, it is important to know that the biggest feeding areas for the salmon are all together outside the jurisdiction of the European Union, outside the jurisdiction of Scotland and other European Union nations. And that is why you have to take respect for the people in the north who have most of the feeding grounds, like around Iceland, Greenland, and the Faroe Islands. Climate change has not made this very easy in recent years, and that is why we are constantly at war. My country, Iceland, and Faroe Islands, we are at war with the European Union because of rights to fish for blue whiting, for mackerel, herring, and so on. The problem of the climate change in recent years is that there is a constant shift in the feeding grounds and the migration routes. So, for instance, mackerel, 20 years ago, the migration routes of the mackerel were from West Africa to the North Sea. That was the area for the mackerel. Now, 20 years later, the mackerel migration route starts at the North Sea, goes beyond Faroe Islands, Iceland, and onto the coast of Greenland. And the European Union are now saying, but we should still have the 92% of the quota. We say, no, you should only have half the quota, because all the mackerel now is eating our food around our countries. Last year, it was estimated that 2 million metric tons of biomass was eaten by mackerel in Icelandic waters. I want to touch on another subject. I've just come back from Finland, where finally I think there is a little breakthrough, but they are still considering of issuing quotas of Baltic salmon of 110,000 fish rather than 54,000 as is going to be proposed by the ICES scientists. So I would like to show you my own river, my Motel River, which I use in salmon management, and we started catching the reeds in around 1990, and at that time, during the 80s and the 90s, our average catch of the river, because we killed all the fish and ate it, was 700 salmon caught a year. After we started catching the reeds, we multiplied the annual catches from 700 fish a year to 2,100 fish. I'm saying this now because it is so important for our economy. We have about 50,000 salmon caught every year in Iceland, and each salmon is worth, our total worth of the salmon is about 100 million euros a year, and it gives jobs to about 1,200 people. So our philosophy is that it's not just good for the biology and the natural resources, it's also good for the economy and the socio-economics of the region. So from 700 salmon a year average catch up to 2,100 salmon, or three times more. In terms of income, it has increased the incomes of the farmers in that area, not three times, but 10 times. They make 10 times more money now than they used to do 20 years ago. It just goes to show you how important it is that we all stop killing the salmon. There are so few salmon in the world, we really mustn't kill anyone. They are all needed for the natural reproduction. I was in a conference recently in Galicia in Spain, and I told them there was an audience just like this one here today, 200 people, And I told them, look guys, stop killing your salmon. I think they have 50 or 100 salmon left. I told them, 300 years ago in Spain, you were catching 600,000 or 700,000 salmon. 50 years ago, you were catching 25,000 salmon. Now you're catching 50. So stop killing them. You need it. Nobody in the audience understood what I was saying. They all wanted to go on killing more and more salmon. I wish you great luck with this conference today. I just have highlighted some of the things we are doing on the North Atlantic Salmon Fund. We are a funny organization because we are volunteers, but we have great many volunteers all over the world, and we all aim to the same objective, same goal, that is to return salmon stocks to historic abundance. And as you will see from this chart, we started with 100 salmon, we went to 700, then we went to 2,100. It's easy to do. We have the same methodology employed at the River Tyne, where they introduced stocking because the stocks were so low, and they, from 100 salmon caught a year, they are now cutting 4,000 or 5,000. And 2 years ago, the total run of the salmon there through the fish counties was no less than 65,000 salmon. Thank you very much.